As we continue on today through the book of Mark, and we finish a three-part series that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. This will be week number three on the way of the cross. And so again, just to get the whole context of what the Lord is saying here and doing here, let's read it from verses Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. And then we'll go back and look at the last two verses more closely. Notice it says, "Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise from the dead." The Way of the Cross, part three, as we say. Now, today we come to the last part of the series that we've been calling the Way of the Cross, and we're going to continue to see what Jesus went through on the way to the cross and then carrying the cross all the way up until his crucifixion. And as we've been looking at and saying that, those who choose to go the way of the cross, a lot of this is in store for you as well. Now, that's not always a popular message to hear, and not exactly the message that we want to hear from time to time, because we want to really hear about the joy and all that comes with that, with the Lord, the forgiveness of sin. All that is true. But it's also important that we also understand that when we choose to go the way of the cross, we also have to walk the way that Jesus walked. And when we walk the way that Jesus walked, we're going to also take a lot of the consequences that Jesus took as well on that way. And so I think that it's important that we understand the forgiveness and the mercy of God, but it's also just as important that we understand the battle that we're in as we choose to walk in his footsteps and in his way. Now, the exciting news is that once we choose to follow Jesus, once we see the way he walked in his path, if you will, and once he got to the end and got to the cross, then came the resurrection. And so the hope in all this, as we talk about, yeah, okay, we've got the way of the cross, and we as Christians are going to have to suffer a little bit. And really, it is only a little bit compared to what the Lord went through. But it is, I believe, a picture that God gives us of what we can expect as we take our way of the cross in following him. But at the same time, we need to be prepared for it and realize that at the end, we have the same reward, that resurrection, that hope, that joy eternal, and all that comes with that. Now, we talk about walking the way of the cross and the persecution that comes a Christian's way. We've seen that even recently. We've used this example. Remember Miss California? I think I called her, I think she became Miss USA for a short amount of time, and then they had all the persecution. That really was a spiritual battle. She made a stand for the Lord. She made a stand on the issue. And because of that, she was greatly attacked and just abused in many different ways. And that is really choosing to go the way of the cross. Now, if she had said, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to go the way of the cross. I'm going to go the way of the underground. I'm going to go silent. I'm just going to kind of say, you know, I think that's just something for everyone to decide, and we leave it in their hands. And she would have been fine. Nobody would have attacked her. She wouldn't have been berated. She wouldn't have lost her crown. And yet, because she made the stand, she was berated. She lost her crown as Miss USA, but she gained a crown in the kingdom of God, because she made a stand for Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to go the way of the cross. It's allowing the world to persecute us down here the same way Jesus did, so that we'll have the reward in heaven. I heard a story about a little boy that went to a camp one time, and his parents were afraid about him going to the camp because he was a Christian. And this was not a Christian camp. And he was going with some of his friends and some of his buddies. And so he goes to the camp and they're thinking, man, is he ready for the spiritual warfare? Is he ready for the battle? He's going to go there and he's going to be going, if you will, the way of the cross. He's going to be standing up for the Lord. And these kids are going to abuse him. They're going to mock him. They're going to do all these things to him. And so they were worried, but they really felt that he should go. He went to the camp and he came back a week later. And of course, they had corresponded some in between. But when he got home, the mom said, son, how did it go? Did it go okay? And she was anxious. Well, you know, maybe he's very scarred by this and what happened. And he said, it went great. One of the greatest camps I've ever been involved in. He said, really? Yes. Why did it go so good? This is just, it was a lot of fun. She said, well, you know, you're a Christian and that really wasn't a Christian camp. How did they respond to that when you let them know? He said, well, you know, mom, I never really told them. And he said, the reason it went so good is nobody knew. And guys, oftentimes, I think that's the temptation. You see, that's not the way of the cross. The way of the cross is saying, you know what? Not only is everyone going to know, but I'm going to do things that aren't going to be very popular, and there are going to be people that don't like me, but they're not going to like me, not because of me. They're not going to like me because of Jesus. It's because of your stand in the Lord. And that's what this is all about. That's part of the way of the cross. Now, something else we need to make sure that we understand, when we choose to go the way of the cross, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will suffer in the same physical ways that the Lord did. As a matter of fact, I would say that probably no one in here is ever going to be crucified on a cross. I would say that probably none of you are ever going to be scourged, you know, with a cat of nine tails and all the leather and, you know, that goes with that, being your skin being ripped off and all that. That's probably not going to happen. But you will go through the emotional and psychological scourging, the emotional and psychological dying to yourself, you know, taking up your own cross. And so for most of us, it's an emotional angle that we take in this, although there are some physical things that do happen. You know, you're probably not going to be spit on, so to speak. But in the spirit, the enemy will spit on you. And he will mock you, and he will scourge you, and he will say all kinds of things about you. That's part of what you have to look forward to if you go the way of the cross. But again, remember, with that said, you also have the resurrection. Maybe some of you guys saw, and I'm sure probably most of you did, or a lot of you did, the movie a while back, the whole crucifixion of Christ, you know, the passion of the Christ. It was really an amazing portrayal of the Lord and all that he went through and all that he suffered. But you know what? It really, to be honest with you, it wasn't as bad in the movie as it was in reality. Because in reality, the Bible says that the Lord was beaten so bad you could not recognize him as a man. And by the time they were done with this actor, you could still tell he was a man. With Jesus, they said you couldn't even tell he was a man. He was so marred and so abused, there was no, it didn't look like a human anymore. And I remember getting to the end of that movie, and of course they show the whole thing, and at the very end, you know, they show the tomb opening, and you have the resurrection, and that's great. I'm glad they put that there. But to me, there was so much more emphasis on his suffering than the resurrection, when really the emphasis needs to be on the resurrection. But I would have loved to see at the end of that movie a greater time of just the glory of the Lord after he resurrected. And just all that happened, because that's what we have to look forward to, the glory and the joy. And that's really what I want to focus on today, is not just looking at some of the other things as far as Jesus on the way to the cross that he suffered, but also some of the things that that we can look forward to in the Lord, and that is that joy and eternity in the kingdom of God. Again, obviously we will suffer nothing to the degree that the Lord suffered, but we will have a measure that the Lord allows. Paul speaks of this in Colossians 1:24, and you can jot these verses down for later if you want. He said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And notice this. He says, and I fill up in my flesh. Note that. What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Notice what he's saying. He's saying, look, we are the body of Christ. And so because of that, now he has gone back to heaven. And since he has gone back to heaven, we are now filling up the afflictions of Christ in our body. That is, just because Jesus went to heaven doesn't mean the world started liking him all of a sudden. The world hated him when he was here. Yes, he had his followers. Yes, he had his believers. Yes, he had those that loved him. But the world hated him while he was here. Now, he's back in heaven. Guess who his representatives are? You and I. We are the body of Christ. And what Paul is saying is, I now fill up in my body the same afflictions, the same suffering, the same things that happened to Jesus. He said, they're happening to me. And guys, the same things that happened to the Lord and Paul are going to happen to us if we go the way of the cross. Again, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 11, Paul said, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord. That is, in our body. The dying of our Lord Jesus. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Notice, he says, we're going to suffer in these bodies for his sake. But here's why. So that we can be glorified in these bodies for his sake as well. He goes on and says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested, where? In our mortal flesh. So we carry it ourselves. Spurgeon said this, and I quote, there are no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers here below. And that really sums it up. And so that's really what this whole thing is about and what this whole passage is about. In other words, even as we are now the body of Christ, as his church, gone to heaven, and he now lives his life out through us, and we take his brunt, if you will, not the full brunt of what he did. We can't take what he did on the cross or his total torture, so to speak. But again, we take that emotional and psychological suffering for the Lord, sometimes physical, but very rarely, especially in America. Paul said again in Galatians 6:17, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And so I'm taking his cross, if you will, taking my cross and following him, rather, in his cross. Again, in John 15:18, Peter said this to his disciples. He said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. He says, don't be surprised by this. It's going to be part of it. And I think this is important for us to understand because it helps us make, note this, rational sense of irrational hatred. There are going to be people that dislike you just because you're a Christian. Not because you've done anything wrong, just because you're a Christian. If you go to certain groups and you let them know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Bible, they're going to begin to persecute you because you're taking the way of the cross. That's where we take up in 33 today. Now, remember last week, Jesus had gone on before them. They watched him. They were amazed. Then he gets to verse 33 and he said, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. Now we covered, again, betrayal last week. Now we come to the next two. Notice the way of the cross is condemnation, is the next one we come to in that way, as well as being delivered to the Gentiles. Now what do we mean by this? Well, again, even as some of you will experience some verbal condemnation from the world, the majority of it, I believe, is going to be spiritual. The majority of that condemnation happens in a spiritual way. I mean, there have been times throughout my life, rare times I can think back, where there was some type of verbal condemnation because I was making a stand for the Lord. Probably you've had one or two of those as well if you've ever stood up for your faith. But the majority of the condemnation that we go through on our way to the cross in following Jesus is a spiritual battle, guys. It's the condemnation of the enemy. It's the mind. The mind is the battlefield, and Satan knows that the mind is a very effective battlefield, and because of that, he harasses us in the mind. He'll speak words of condemnation in your mind, knowing that that can oftentimes be much more tormenting than even verbal words of condemnation. Again, it's a feeling that overwhelms you. Let me ask you this. Have you ever just suddenly felt condemned for no reason? You ever had that? I just feel condemned. God's not going to forgive me. God can't forgive me. I'm condemned in this thing, whatever it might be. Guys, that is not from God. That is from the enemy. God does not give us that sense of condemnation. God gives us that sense of forgiveness and of life. And again, so when that attack comes, what do? We use the word of God, pull out the sword, and fight against it by the sword of the Spirit, even as Jesus did in the wilderness. Remember, it says that Jesus said, it is written, three times when Satan came to him, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he used the word of God. And I encourage you, if you have that sense of condemnation, there's a scripture you need to memorize, and it's Romans 8:1. And it says this, and I would encourage you to say it this way. I would say, it is written, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, there's no condemnation for you if you're in Christ. And so grab that. If you're in the Lord, you'll never be condemned, no matter what Satan or your own mind is telling you. And this is how I believe we can know whether or not it's God or whether or not it's Satan. Is it condemnation or is it conviction? That's the difference. Now, when we say we won't feel condemnation, what we will feel is conviction. And conviction is a good thing. Conviction lets us know we have sin. Conviction lets us know we need to repent. And so conviction is good. And what is the difference? Condemnation makes us feel, you know, condemned, you know, weighed down, no hope. This is it. We're done. That's condemnation. That's not from the Lord. Conviction is, you know what? There's something you need to get right. You need to deal with this. You've got a sin issue in your life. You've got to deal with it. And that's the conviction part that comes with that. It's interesting. Satan only condemns, but God convicts and then confronts. But it's always done in love. He'll convict us and he'll confront us. Satan leaves it at condemnation and just lets it hang. And again, not only will there be condemnation, and really going along with the condemnation here that the Lord experienced, Satan will also fill our minds with accusations. Again, I believe the majority of this is a spiritual battle. Revelation 12:10 said, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Note this, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Notice day and night. Satan doesn't take a break, does he? He's before the throne of God. Notice this. Now again, this doesn't mean that as you go the way of the cross, you're necessarily going to be accused down here day and night. That's not what it's saying. But in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, he's before God making accusation. And then he tells you about the accusations in your mind and he condemns you. Oh, look what you did. You call yourself a Christian. Look how you reacted in that situation. Look at what you're doing. And there's this constant barrage of accusation and condemnation that comes from the enemy. He never stops. But guys, again, when this happens, we do the same thing that we do with other spiritual battles. It is written. We take it to the cross. When the enemy reminds us of our sin, we simply need to be reminded of the cross. Because that's what the cross is about. Jesus went to the cross to die for our sin. And there's a scripture says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so there's what we quote, Lord, it is written. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then we can overcome the condemnation. Now, the next thing, notice the Lord says will happen to himself on the way to the cross is he will be delivered over to the Gentiles. Note that. Well, that's the Bible's way of saying unbelievers. Again, in his case, it was quite physical and emotional. More likely than not, for us, it's going to be emotional. He'll deliver us over to emotional abuse by the Gentiles or the unbeliever. And again, how is that? Well, again, oftentimes, he'll turn us over to those who don't know God just because they know of the stand we make and they begin to persecute. I look at the world to hand it over to the Gentiles. Guys, how many times have you seen a TV show or a movie where the Christian is shown in a good light? Very rarely. The majority of the time, when you see Christians on TV or movies, they're always seen as the brunt of the joke, the one who looks foolish or backwards in the story, the one who is seen as totally out of touch with reality. In essence, that is being handed over to the Gentiles. God allows that. And he allows that so that we might suffer with the Lord, that we might be also glorified with him as well. And so the Lord says, hey, these are things I'm going to do. This is going to happen. And notice verse 34, he goes on. He says, and they will mock him, and they will scourge him, and they will spit on him and kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. Notice next in that list of things on the way to the cross is he'll be mocked. Luke 23:11 says this, then Herod with his men of war treated Jesus with contempt, and they mocked him. They arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and they sent him back to Pilate. Remember, another gospel tells us they begin to put, you know, come on, show us some miracle. Herod wanted to see him do things. Come on, perform for us, Jesus. You know, come on, show us something that'll amaze us. And I love it. The Lord didn't even answer him, didn't even respond to him. Then Jesus said in John 18:37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Remember, Pilate was cross-examining him. And Pilate goes, you know, all these things. Hey, do you know who I am? I can put you to death. And the Lord said, you could do nothing if the Father didn't let you. And so as Pilate begins to, you know, try to get at him, Jesus said, everyone who hears the truth hears my voice. In other words, Pilate, if you heard the truth, you would know my voice. And Pilate said to him in a mocking way, no doubt, what is truth? What's truth? You never heard people say that? The Bible's true, and I believe the Bible. What do they say? What's truth? You know, who believes in truth, you know? Everyone's way is right. It's mockery. Then in John 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and then they said, hail, King of the Jews! No doubt done in a very mocking way. You know, oh, look at this great king now. And they struck him with their hands. Again, this is the mockery Jesus was facing. But guys, the Bible says that we're also going to be mocked. You ever been mocked before for your faith in Christ? Maybe a comment you made at the office. Maybe you said something about the Bible and somebody said, well, you don't really believe God wrote the Bible, do you? I mean, you don't really believe the Bible is true, every bit of it. I mean, what about the part where the man gets swallowed, you know, by the fish? You know, don't tell me you believe all the Bible. And they'll begin to belittle you. When you make a stand, they'll begin to stand against you. And so there's a mockery that goes with that. How foolish and narrow-minded can you be? Notice next, the Lord says, also, they'll scourge me. Now, as I said, chances are you're not going to be beaten with a whip. They used to take, in the scourgings, they would take and they would, you know, whip the prisoners so much, they said oftentimes, historians say that by the time they were done, the organs were exposed. Can you imagine? A beating so badly that the organs are exposed? Guys, you may never be whipped by a real whip, but there may be times you are whipped emotionally. You are whipped by the enemy. He's just whipping you in your mind, and maybe there's some sin that you've done, and he's just whipping you. Look what you did. You cursed of a Christian, and he's just beating you to death. And you know what's interesting? Because even as the organs were exposed, our organ will be exposed. Our heart begins to bleed and begins to be broken from the beating oftentimes that Satan can bring. But again, remember, that is something that Jesus has already done for us, and because of that, we can endure that. The next thing is, notice this, he says, they'll also, they will spit on him. Now again, spitting was then and still is now one of the greatest ways that one can show the worst contempt for a person, spitting on them. And even as Satan moved in hearts to spit on Jesus back then, he will oftentimes spit on you spiritually, you know, just despise you. And sometimes it even happens in the physical realm. I remember a few years back, there was a well-known celebrity who made a stand for Christ. And made this stand against a certain group, and they were real upset with her and all this. And she was walking in this certain room, and one of them literally just spit right on her. It was on the news and everything. Saw her get spit on. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, that's exactly what the Lord had to endure, except it was probably a lot worse. But she was walking the way of the cross. And when you walk the way of the cross, these are the things that can sometimes happen physically, but more often than not, happen in a very spiritual and emotional way. And notice, lastly, the Lord says here, and here's the end of it, where he came to the cross, he said, then they will kill him. Again, something you may never have to experience physically, but you can sometimes feel emotionally dead by the time Satan is done whacking you around. But now with that, we come to what makes it all worth it. And my favorite part of this verse, notice the last thing he says, and the third day he will rise again. Guys, that's why we celebrate, and that is why we endure going the way of the cross. Because the way of the cross, yes, there is suffering in the way of the cross, but there's great rejoicing and reward in the end. In Romans 8, verses 16 through 18, it says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Notice that. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that awesome? Guys, the suffering we go through now is not even worthy to compare to the glory that waits ahead. Proverbs 24, verses 15 and 16 says this. I love it. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. I love it. In other words, the righteous may fall seven times, but that means they'll get up. How many? Eight. Eight times. They're going to get up. Every time they fall, they're going to get right back up. And so the bottom line is that although you may take the beating, you will rise again. Guys, it's all worth it. Now, you know, listen, this is a go through a time like this, tough portion of scripture, looking at the suffering of Christ and the fact that if we choose to walk in his footsteps, there's going to be some suffering for us as well. But why did the Lord endure it? Remember, he said he endured it for the joy set before him. Guys, we can endure it for the same reason, for the joy set before us. That means that although you may feel beaten down and discouraged this morning, take heart. God will revive you in his timing. Your job is to continue to look to him and trust him to do it. And so, guys, as we come to the end of this three-week study on the way of the cross, here's my desire is that you're encouraged. Yes, number one, prepared with an understanding of what it means to truly walk the way of the cross, but at the same time, not to be so focused on the things that are the suffering end of it, but on the resurrection end, the life after that. Guys, the joy, the hope that comes afterwards. You know, some of you may be tempted sometime in your life, sometime in your Christian life, some of you may already have been tempted to say, you know what, is this really worth it? Is it really worth it to go through all this? Guys, I just want to say most definitely, yes, it is worth it, especially in light of all that is waiting in eternity. Eternity is a long time. This is short down here. Eternity is forever. Paul said it best in Romans 8:18 when he said this. He said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Guys, it's not worthy to be compared. Don't let the way of the cross intimidate or slow you down. You know, it's interesting. Jesus, the Bible says, as he headed on the way to the cross, it says he set his face like flint. And we've talked about this before, a face like flint. Flint is used to sharpen things. You know, when you strike a flint rock, nothing but sparks fly off. And so we need to take that same encouragement as believers, and that is this. We say, all right, Lord, I give my life to you, and I know there's going to be joy everlasting in the end, but there's going to be some tough times in between now and we get to that place. So I'm going to grit my teeth, I'm going to set my face like flint, and then I'm going to look to the joy that was set before. And guys, if you're in the midst of that, hang in there. Grit your teeth, set your face, continue down the path of the cross, and your payday and your resurrection will come. And one day it's all going to be worth it. I guarantee you guys, when you stand before the Lord and those rewards are being given out, there's not going to be one of you that took any kind of assault for the name of Jesus that are going to feel like, man, I wish I'd have done something else. At that moment, you're going to be going, you know what, Lord? Thank you so much that I decided to go the way of the cross and follow you, because now I see what it was all about. Let's pray and ask him to help us be those who choose to go the way of the cross. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer this morning. Lord, to be those who choose to go the way of the cross. Lord, we could choose to hide. We could choose to, Lord, like the little boy at the camp, not tell anyone that we love you and that we follow you. And Lord, we could skip a lot of the persecution that comes with that. But Lord, you didn't. You chose to go the way of the cross. And Lord, I pray you would give us the boldness and the courage to choose going the way of the cross today. Lord, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way, but we know there are going to be periods throughout our life where the cross is going to be rather difficult. And yet, Lord, we know that when we stand before you on that day, it's all going to be worth it. Father, I pray if there's any right now that are going the way of the cross and they're feeling some of that, Lord, maybe some of that emotional scourging, emotional abuse or mocking or whatever's happening in their life because they've made a stand for you. Lord, encourage them. Strengthen them. Fortify them in you. And help them, Lord, even as you, to set their face like flint so that, Lord, they might not only run the race now, but they might finish the race well. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory, and we thank you for the resurrection and the hope we have, Lord, with you in the kingdom eternally. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.